Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I am excited to speak today with Heather Taylor Zimmerman. She is presenting a workshop at the 28th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference in Seattle, February 14th through the 16th. And I'd invite you to go to our website and check out the conference and the full schedule. Just go to womenofwisdom.org. So Heather is a visionary artist and psychologist who is passionate about creative transformation. She has a PhD in archetypal psychology and creativity, and she helps people to embody soul by creating art as a creative path and an individuation journey to wholeness. And you can learn more about her at her website, www.learningthroughthruart.com. So we're going to discuss a lot of things that she's working with, exploring past wounding and healing, playing with the embodied shadow material, and so we can really get into some deep self-care and healing. So welcome, Heather. So I'm just checking if Heather's there. Heather?
Oh, yeah, so you may not have heard that. Thank you, Chris, and happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, no, I just had to click a button, I think. So, yeah, so we're so excited to have you. Heather has been an artist and has been a vendor at our marketplace that we have at the conference. And so we're very excited that she's going to be giving a workshop on this new topic for us. It's called Creative Self-Care for Deep Healing. So I first want to talk about how you relate this to our conference theme, which this year is Radiate Loving Harmony, Unite Our World. So what do you imagine we can learn from our ancestors, especially the female ancestors of your dissertation, to help us radiate love and harmony and unite our world? What does that mean to you?
Well, I think the first thing I'll clarify is the feminine is an inner feminine and masculine, so it's not a fixed gender. And I say that because healing and being able to radiate and embody the conference theme to me is about wholeness. So it's the acceptance of all of our parts, and that's the healing. I think that love is really an expression of self-acceptance and inclusion. So I think one of the things that's really important about embracing the feminine and the ancestral wisdom is that the feminine has been repressed. That's not a secret to anyone, certainly not a secret to your legacy and work, Chris. And so one of the things I'm the most excited about in the conference workshop that I'm doing and in my larger body of work is that this aspect of the embodied soul and creativity has a lot that it can give us as a lost art, so to speak, a lost way of knowing. We have focused so much on the mind and the compartmentalization, the separating out of different things, that the movement to wholeness and seeing things as integral and put together is something that art and creativity can offer as a more typically embodied and feminine practice through the ages. And as a last point, I'll note that they actually know now through studies that the earliest artists tend to be women. So it is a lineage held in the ancestors, but also feminine ancestors, this ability to create what I think of as ritual and sacred art.
And that's great. And I know art is one of our important aspects of the conference. People love to create something. And, you know, it comes from within, you know, in order to create, and you're going to lead people into that deep inner place. And but what's great is people can take something home to remind them of their experience. So let's talk about how you imagine creative self-care helps us in this to maximize and sustain our radiant healing effort.
Yeah, so self-care, again, is not a new concept, but it goes so far beyond Calgon baths and, you know, a mani-pedi or something. Really deep self-care is going into the core wounds that we've all experienced that are both individual and collective, and working with the repressed shadow material, those parts of ourselves that we've separated off, the ways that we feel we're not enough or we cannot bring parts of ourselves, whether it's body shaming or sexual abuse, or, you know, the parts of ourselves that as women or men or the feminine in either, we just don't feel like we can really love. And so that's the deep healing and the deep self-care that I want to get to, and that's really self with a capital S self. So again, for Carl Jung, the psychologist, it was the archetype of wholeness is the self, and that's where the healing comes in. And so the self-care is going into our body and, you know, again, going beyond a manicure, really going in and loving and embracing the wounded parts that are often somatically held, the psyche-soma connection that are held as wounds in our body. And that's what we're going to try and get at in the healing in the conference.
Yes, and we're going to get a little more into that topic of Carl Jung and the shadow material and, you know, some pretty deep work. And for some people, it can be kind of scary. But first, let's try and find out about you. I'd love to know from you this transition from going from an artist that led you to get a doctoral degree in archetypal psychology. What was that journey for you like?
Yeah, it had a couple of parts, and when you look back in retrospect, you can see it more obviously as a path. You can see yourself on a path that at the moment you don't really recognize as there. And so even when I went back and went to college, you know, the first time as a younger person, I really loved what I called cross-cultural constants and what I now know as archetypes, those universal nodes or connecting points of truth that emerge throughout time and culture that aren't pollinated directly, you know, in terms of, you know, a conqueror coming and that's how that moved from A to B, but they seem to almost emerge naturally from the human psyche. So those are archetypes. And so even when I was getting an art history degree and the decades after as an artist, I really was always interested in art as a transformative practice, and particularly the consistency of how art was used in what we might even think of as ritual sacred practice, as a way to mirror and reflect and dialogue with the soul in art. And so that's what I love. And the more specific, what I call soul's calling, which is vocation, is that I was actually watching one of my son's soccer practices, and I was on my laptop, and I'd always wanted and imagined that I would get a doctoral degree in the juncture of spirituality, art, and science, but I'd never found a program that matched that description. And so I was sitting outside on my laptop watching the soccer, and I heard this inner voice that I identify as my soul. And they simply said, people have forgotten how to learn through art. And on my laptop, you know, with those ubiquitous advertisements on there, was the graduate school that I ended up going to. And 2 days later, as synchronicity would have me led, to a soccer game, and I stood next to a good friend who was the head of the consciousness department at a local college, and she recommended the Red Book by Carl Jung and the graduate school that I ended up going to. So that's my more specific calling, but I've always been really fascinated by art as a transformative practice.
Mm-hmm. And I know I encourage people, I don't know if you have art on your new website, but your art is beautiful and very expressive, but also deep. So given this history that you just gave us, so you had, you pursued your soul's path to transformation. So how did that help you in your own, because we're talking about the deep healing of the feminine, what's your story about your own deep healing?
Well, it's been a recurrent theme. I know, Chris, I met you guys years ago when I was just starting a couple decades of work where every day my mantra or my kind of invocation of self was to create images of the sacred feminine. So I felt a calling to create healing images of the feminine for a long time. But in this body of work for my doctoral dissertation, I in a way, replicated my own experience of the Red Book. If anybody is not familiar with that, it's really worth looking at. It's a Gnostic Bible, so it's his own experience, inner experience, mystical experience, that he created as an illuminated manuscript, so painting and then calligraphy. And it's his experience of following his soul. He called it his soul school, and she called it art. And so in that process of creating art in this way that Jung discovered, that's an archetypal way, he then studied it as an emergent path for others and then taught it to his advanced patients. I followed in those footsteps, and again, he called it a path, and I applied it to myself. And even though I'd gone through decades of studying art as a transformative practice, applying it to myself and my own spiritual practice, and creating icons of the sacred feminine, I was really blown away by the application of what Jung called active imagination, where you're going in almost in this therapeutic mirroring with the art, and the art will engage you. And so two examples to get to the healing of the feminine. The first time I did that process with art in the way of the Red Book, I was taken in my most profound experience back to childhood sexual abuse in a way that was harmonic and horrific, as it says in the Red Book. It was really graceful and beautiful, and that sounds maybe impossible given the topic, but the soul as a therapist in this creative practice uses symbolism and really holds you psychologically in a way that is transhuman. It's beyond us, it seems. So I went back to my childhood home and had this embodied experience of sexual abuse, but in a way where I felt removed and safe. And then afterwards, again, this is dialoguing with the art, I was held in almost like this dreamlike state, held by my soul in this childhood fort above my garden in an apple tree. So it had this mythic sense of a return to Eden and a transcending of the bodily and sexualized shame of my wounding from childhood. So that's one example, and that was the first step, the first time I did this practice. So it can take you deep. I like to believe that there is a transcendent wisdom to the soul, again, in this therapeutic capacity that holds you. So I feel I was ready to go there because I'd been doing the work for so long. And then the second example is the first time I did it in my dissertation, working with the art in the same way. I was told that if I didn't reconcile with my primary male wounding, that I couldn't go any further on the path. So both times I had really profound experiences in different ways that moved me and they changed me. And so I really became a believer in this process because it has the ability to do this deep care and deep therapy that I think, again, is beyond us as humans. It's really a fascinating experience to undergo this healing of the soul.
And I think you mentioned, too, earlier that it all relates also to the archetypes and the feminine creativity. And interesting, you mentioned even the healing of the masculine inside you. And that's a needed thing. Well, we, especially women wisdom, we talk so much about healing the feminine, but we can't also at the same time disown the masculine within us, and that needs healing as well. And so do you work ever, you know, sort of merging the two together of like, you know, one works, you know, that they work together, they, you can't isolate it, that, okay, here's the feminine, here's the masculine.
Yeah, they're very much intertwined. In fact, there's in alchemy, there's the union of the masculine and the feminine, and they're very much within us. The Hermetic tradition is we have those two male and female poles in alchemy, and we are really realized or self-realized with a capital S in wholeness when we have both fully developed capacities within us. And it's funny you said that, you know, with the feminine, with women of wisdom, because my prejudice going into my doctoral dissertation was that I really wanted it to be a feminine manifesto, like a feminist Bible in a sense. And so what I was told as a corrective right off the bat when I engaged with the art was that that would not be okay. To really heal, I needed to be willing to see it as both. And so I think that is fundamentally true in this world. I have three sons. I love my husband. We're in a world with masculine and feminine. We have those component parts within ourselves. We have to be able to heal that split. And so that was actually a really integral part of my experience.
Yes, and I'm just thinking how life gives us those lessons. Like, it's no mistake you had three sons, you know, to be involved in that healing for you.
Yeah, I thought it was the perfect thing. I was such a flaming feminist. I am still very much a feminist. You know, equality is a human right. But it was the perfect thing for me to have three sons to come through love to the healing. And that's the one thing that I would say, is that the masculine and the feminine are united within us and external to us in love. And so that's a really beautiful thing. Love really is love. And to explore what that means and to use it as a healing agency is pretty profound.
Mm-hmm. And so, well, let's talk a little bit more about Carl Jung. So he works with the shadow material, and you did mention, you know, that you encountered some of that shadow material going back to your home and looking at the sexual abuse and all that. So what more can you say about how you would work with people and diving into this, you know, which can be dark and scary shadow material, or how you work with it?
Yeah, so I really trust the psyche. You know, in homeopathic, naturopathic medicine, in a lot of our lives, we have this understanding that there's an innate wisdom to the body. There's an innate wisdom to the psyche that, again, transcends, because it's not separated, it's connected to nature and to life. And in my experience, psyche, soul is the best therapist. Psychology is obviously a study of the soul. And so the first thing I would say is that I trust art as a revelatory experience, and I trust psyche as a psychological guide in this process. So even if you create art and you're looking at it, you can only see what you're ready to see, in a sense. So I don't take anyone on a deep dive into shadow material. It really emerges naturally, and it's a very natural process. That's a overt, meaningful metaphor, is that we are connecting our nature to nature, and to be natural is to be healed. And so I let things naturally emerge and unfold. So what that would look like in a workshop or in working with me in a therapeutic capacity is that you may have a prompt, there may be some guided imagery. Art always has huge amount of latitude. Carl Jung had a mantra in the Red Book that I loved and I use constantly, which is, there's only one way and it's your way. And what I love about art is you can give the same directions to everybody and every image will be totally different. And so I let the creative freedom express itself in art. And the beauty is that nobody has to be fearful. There's an automatic trust, because what unfolds isn't forced. You don't have to do anything. It just naturally happens. And then when you look at the art, again, that practice of active imagination or witnessing, it's looking through the psychological lens of the soul. What is communicated to you is as interesting or even more interesting than what you put down on the page. So both of those different aspects, you creating the art and you communicating with the art, or the art communicating with you, have what I perceive to be safeguards. So you're not going to be smacked on the head by anything that you're not ready for. At the same time, we talked about shadow material. We all have shadow material. And I'll make this distinction, most people probably know, but Carl Jung might be the most famous for bringing up the collective unconscious. And so we have our own core wounding and our personal unconscious, but it's connected to and amplified by the archetypal energy of the collective wounding and the collective unconscious. And so right now, you know, we had the Me Too movement, we have women's marches, you know, we have some really negative statistics globally at this time. And we have a lot that is coming to the surface, coming to consciousness that's wounding, that's collective. And so, kind of like it or not, we are in a time of shadow material because we need to process it to move forward. And so the more people who can consciously take that on, and again, this is deep self-care in the sense that we're going into the depths of our own being to process this wounding, but also really taking care of ourselves. So, you know, replenishing with water, soul food, yoga, you know, all of the other things, so that we are taking care of ourselves. We need to do that because it's a time of some darkness. You know, it's a time of great potential and initiation, which is crisis and opportunity, but I don't think any of us can avoid some of the darkness that's coming forth.
Yeah, so we're seeing it, but it's kind of like, the, you know, we need to do our inner work. If we're seeing it out there, mm-hmm. the world's a mirror. So what is that darkness inside ourselves? Which, you know, can be, like I said, you can be fearful to look at, but I love it. You talk about what's ready to come out in art, or you're sharing stories or whatever is coming forward because you're ready to look at it. You know, I don't think, you know, there's no accidents. It's just, things come at a time when it's, you know, it's safe for you to do. And we do create that safe container at Woman of Wisdom so that you're supported by other people. You know, you're going to be supporting people and other people, you know, it's this collective, it's this circle work of being together. And a lot of the stories will be similar. You know, as one person does art and shares their story, another person, oh my goodness, that's my story too. And it helps you not feel so isolated and alone to know that others have having similar experiences. We're all different, but there's similarities, and to see and witness other people and their shadow material or what they need to heal to go forward, everybody in the room will relate to one way or another. And that's the power of being in community, like a place like at Woman of Wisdom. And so you will be guiding people in that. And I know that it's always great to be expressing it in art and then looking at, well, what is this art? It's like you said, you know, what is this art telling me? You know, what's the story here? And it may be something that may not come right away. I would imagine you find this, that you have to go sit with it, and you might leave the conference, and 2 weeks later you go, oh, that's what this is about.
Yeah, and it has layers of meaning and wisdom. So the idea of a symbol, the part that you don't quite get yet, is revelatory, and it's a staged revelation. So when you look at something, we all know this, if you read the same book at different points in your life, you'll get different things from it. Art has that same capacity to reveal, you know, it's like we're looking into the mirror of the art as a self-portrait, and we will see from the perspective that we witness it. So that's going to change. But I also want to take up what you were saying, Chris, before about the circle work and Women of Wisdom, and give a shout out for people who haven't gone or haven't gone recently. It is such a womb-like creative space, and you're right, there's a, you know, we're all familiar with the hero's myth, but the heroine's myth as well, and it's so much about being nurtured and held and lineage and ancestors, and the Women of Wisdom Conference holds that space, that alchemical vessel, which is like the womb, in such a beautiful way. It allows people to drop deep and heal and be in community and circle and be held in a way that I think is really unparalleled.
Yeah, thank you for that. And we've made changes to our conference where we're all together all day and we have community meals together, and so there's even more opportunity to really connect with other women. So it's a, you know, we've been around 28 years, so we change and grow, and as women grow, we need to change and be there for other women. And I love it that, you know, that you talk about this collective. I think we're all feeling this collective wounding, and sometimes we feel it so within ourselves. It's just us. But if we're feeling it, it's in the world. It's all over, and it's a collective. It's a need we to do this inner work that you're bringing forward here is so important for the collective healing for our planet, and that's part of what our theme is about. Uniting our world, it's, you know, the radiating is in order to be, we were looking at like, okay, peace, you know, we all want peace and we want love and harmony. And how do we get that in our world? Well, we have to find it in ourselves and then we have to radiate it out. And that's what is the uniting part, is as we radiate it out into the world, others will feel it, see it, find it in themselves. And that all adds to the uniting of our world. So important now. And so I want to thank you for the aspect that you're bringing. And it also leads to, you had a statement of that this material, it offers hidden treasure. And I like that. And that the art, I would imagine you find that in doing your art and watching other people do their art, that these, that hidden treasures come forward, and that those are our gifts that our soul is expressing for us to see for ourselves. Is that how you look at it?
Yeah, so there are a couple of layers to it, but that's very true. My favorite part of art always is the part that is unintentional, that emerges. And in fact, I try to, in a sense, go unconscious. It's ritual art, and I often will listen to music or do something to engage my conscious mind. And now, like meditation, I pretty much go unconscious when I create. And that allows the dialogue with the unconscious. I call it communing and communicating with the unconscious. So the parts that emerge out through the art, you know, that are surprising, that are unintentional, those are really the gems that you get. And then also it is like excavation, you know, it's deep body work. And we have hidden in our body, in a sense, that the wounding that is the treasure. And so in the body map, that psyche-soma connection, the parts of ourselves that we haven't been ready to embrace back to make ourselves whole, we can go back into ourself. And art, it's called a body of art. Art helps you create a way to hold that wounding and to see it and process it external to yourself. And so that's another way to get at, like, the mining of the buried treasure within us can be accessed through art. And Hades, the lord of the underworld, was the lord of riches. And so even though people are really reticent, and understandably so, to go into the dark and the shadow material and the underworld of what we have repressed and made unconscious, the truth is that our real power and our full power of reclaiming ourselves lies there. And so that, I think, ultimately is the hidden treasure, is the reclaiming of all of the parts of ourself to become whole.
Yes, well spoken. Yes, I totally agree. And I look forward to having this workshop at the conference, and it is going to be on the first day. So it's kind of like Saturday afternoon, so people can dive right in and see what's there, see what hidden treasure is for them to explore and take home with them. Because, you know, this is ongoing work. It isn't just like you, oh, okay, I've got that, I healed that, now let's move on, what's the next thing? It's as you said, it's layered, you know, so more and more is going to be coming out. So what would you like to share about some of the things that you're doing in your personal, it's kind of like a new business now that you've graduated, got your PhD in psychology, combining with your art. What are you offering people?
Yeah, so the first thing I'll dovetail with is the unfolding over time, as you mentioned, is going to the workshop. And what I'm doing now is that this really is a path, which has this sense of an ongoing journey. And I language it as a journey. Jung called it individuation. And it's essentially transforming ourselves over time. Throughout our life. Our life is the journey. And so I'm doing a couple of things that all have the same basic message and purpose, which is this transformation of ourselves to transform the world. And I am creating an online learning platform. It's Soul of Creativity, and the learning through art will go to that. And it's using this deep self-care, of which this art-based transformation or creativity-based transformation is a cornerstone, to transform ourselves, to transform the world. And as part of that, it's a hybrid online and on-site. I'm really fortunate enough to be creating a healing center. It's Beloved Sanctuary. So beloved is to be loved. And that's in a way an essential part of our transformation, but also, like the beloved in the Song of Songs or in different traditions, is the feminine who's rejected and needs to be reclaimed. So that's another way to envision the Beloved Sanctuary. And it's a place of creativity with art and nature. So it's 160 acres, and it has these great stone alchemical buildings, has a sound bathing chamber and old growth, waterways, labyrinths, meditative walks. And so I'm really fortunate enough to be starting my practice there. And then the last third thing that's dovetailing with that is a product line of mists and candles that is about this deep self-care as well. It's these ritual embodied practices that use these sprays and candles, have gemstones, have natural essences, and they have a practice that go along with them connected to the chakras and the zodiac and different things that are really about healing in this deep self-care way our embodied selves so that we can heal the world.
Yes, and I believe that you're going to have a booth there at our marketplace at the conference, so you'll have these products there, correct?
Yeah, we're really excited. They've had rave reviews so far, and again, that healing of the body. The one thing I want to touch on too, Chris, is the healing of the feminine as Mother Earth. This kind of goes without saying. Mother means mater. So healing our matter, that spirit and matter of alchemy, healing Mother Earth. It's no secret that we're in ecological collapse and crisis. And so really this feminine healing that's deep self-care is fundamentally about healing our nature and healing nature.
Yes, which makes our work so important. Our healing is not just for ourselves. It's really for everybody and for the earth. And you mentioned all these things that you're going to be starting to do, and I just want to say that coming to Women of Wisdom and having your attending your workshop will give people a starting place to learn the work you do, and it kind of be a nice intro to it. And if anybody wants to, then they can come explore at the conference and see if it's something that they want to do more of. So thank you so much, Heather, for being here today and for being at our conference.
Thank you, Chris. I'm very excited to re-enter the womb of Women of Wisdom.
Yes, so I encourage people to sign up for the workshop and check out the schedule of all the other offerings. Many, many great workshop leaders this year. And the conference is February 14th through the 16th. The 2020 Women of Wisdom Conference is our 28th year, and I'd say it's probably going to be one of our best. It keeps getting better and better every year. So I'll be interviewing more people between now and February, all the presenters that will be at the conference. So stay tuned for more interviews. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. So thanks, Heather, and we'll see you in February.
Thanks, Chris.